This is the Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania review. This is going to be spoiler-filled because nobody has time to do a spoiler-free review. Why, you ask? Because we feel like making, you know, a review that has spoilers because we feel like the effort needed in order to make a spoiler-free review for this? Yeah, it's not happening. And the we, clearly J-Star is here. He's also back from the Quantum Realm to say hello.
What up?
So yeah, so you know it's bad when I also want to be a part of the spoiler cast.
Yeah, he actually agreed. Like, what? This is Ant-Man. Wow. Welcome to Phase 5, people. It's Ant-Man. Yay. I mean, as much as we love Paul Rudd, I mean, it's like, I don't even want to blame him. Like,
it's not
he didn't
his
do
fault.
Nothing wrong. It ain't his fault at all.
I think he's Spider-Man, so.
Yeah.
That says it all.
Yeah. Okay, that part was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But that was.
That helped.
Let me read the summary, then we're going to get it. Ant-Man and the Wasp find themselves exploring the quantum realm, interacting with strange new creatures, and embarking on an adventure that pushes them beyond the limits of what they thought was possible. Rated PG-13, because Marvel and Disney will not do an R-rated movie for whatever reason.
For shame.
And it has a runtime of 2 hours and 5 minutes. Action-adventure. Because I'm not going to say comedy, because yikes. Wow. Like, that element of Ant-Man, it just didn't feel Ant-Man-y.
Like, no, it didn't. It was weird. It was a weird, like, even
yeah,
certain characters were like, why?
Why are you here? Clearly, Jonathan Majors as Kang is the star of the show.
Obviously.
Duh. And I'll also go as far as adding Michelle Pfeiffer as Janet Van Dyne, because the story is basically centered around Kang's formal introduction into the MCU and Janet's time in the Quantum Realm. And just the OG Wasp after spending 30 years in there. So she does a good job. Their performances I have no problem with. It was cool for what it was, but yeah. I feel like Hope and Ant-Man took a backseat largely in this. And I'm not even like pressed about it, but at the same time, I'm just like, what did I just watch?
Or I'm like, it didn't feel like an MCU movie. It just felt like a spinoff.
Thank you. And for it to be the third Ant-Man film, I'm just like, this is what we get? Like, huh?
Yeah, like usually when you get like the trilogy of a movie, that climax is supposed to be like, oh yeah, that a wild ride the entire movie. I didn't get that.
That's a fact.
I took my seatbelt off early.
You took your seat. I didn't even put my seatbelt on, right? Because I was ready to leave the theaters. But it just felt so flat, especially for introducing Kang in the films for once rather than Loki. And it's just like, okay. Again, I don't have a problem with his introduction. It was cool for what it was, but I know we have to build things up. We can't just get jam-packed action right out the gate, but could we have gotten a little bit more?
Yeah, I know. I understand like they can't put everything in there from the comics, mm-hmm. but it was like a lot of stuff that would have been nice to add on where they like things that they left in certain places. We'll get to that part. I think that would have mm-hmm. been justified inside the movie within itself.
Yeah, that is a fact. And the new Cassie.
Oh, man.
First of all, I'll say she was okay. Mid. Whatever else you would like to say.
I wouldn't say neither of those things.
I mean, she was there. She was present in the film.
You're right. I just feel conflicted because I would have wanted the other actress.
I did too. I didn't see any problem. And like the recast to me was confusing because it's just like, why? Was it some kind of weird ageist ploy? They're not even old, but okay. Sure.
Like,
of course, we needed to debut Stature for the Young Avengers, but what?
Like, I've seen no athleticism for this character needed.
Yo, not even the athleticism. I wasn't even getting the practical effects and stuff, but damn. Now that you mention it, yeah.
You could have kept Shorty.
Yeah, you just there. Child, I keep going back to this, but the Disneyfication of the MCU, it's not as exciting as it used to be.
No.
The jokes, they just been dragging. The stories are just meh. Like, is it just...
Who are you impressing? TikTok? I just don't understand.
Like, are they even impressing TikTok people?
I feel like they are, because it doesn't impress me.
I don't know. Did they... That is a good perspective to look at it. Like, did they just say, forget actual fans of the comics and the heroes and just focus on the general
younger pop
purpose everyday type of person?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to say, well, literally injecting it into the mainstream. Like, you're not even letting it take its own course. You're just forcing it upon people now.
It's OD type commercial to the point where it's not special anymore.
Yeah. Now, obviously, it's expected. Every year you get at least one or two Marvel movies at the beginning. But now it's like, if I don't get four or five of them, it's something's wrong.
They pushed them back. Something's wrong with the budget.
Yeah.
What's going on? But even with that, everything feels like a sitcom now.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's like, weird.
Straight to TV movies. Why is... Okay, it can't just be us.
I feel like
that's going to be one of the poll questions or whatever. But why does it feel like that?
They just want to rush it straight to their platforms.
But they own it. What are you rushing? Nobody else is going to beat you.
It just seems weird because I've noticed it with the Thor thing. How fast did that go? Like, it came on exactly when I said it would, too.
Yeah.
So it's like,
that is true.
They're rushing it straight to that. So they want to make a quick buck and just own the rights to it or the story so nobody else can do it.
That's so wild. Because freaking superheroes and action adventure movies like this are just easy cash. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to try.
But is this effort?
Again, you don't even have to try. Whatever the hell they're doing in them studios, I have no idea. If they consider this effort, okay. But sure, things like this are just guaranteed cash cows if you don't play with the original stories, even if you tend to modernize them for the day or whatever, for the sake of your, the diversity, equity, and inclusion bit of it all, because they love sprinkling that on top whenever they can, just to check that box.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but at its core, the actual fandom and excitement, it's gone. It's missing.
Yeah. And I see, in a sense, is like they want to avoid what the fans predict, but it's kind of hard not to predict a already written story.
Hello? Exactly. And why are you so adamant against not, you know, having spoilers or predictions when it exists already?
Like, I'm not trying to stifle like creativity, but
yeah,
the source material's there, dude.
That's a fact. And to me, that would make you, you know, be able to create and innovate from that point and be like, you know what? Because they did this, we're going to do this. Or take it up a notch because we have the budget to do this with effects.
Yeah.
And hell, even the writers and stuff that we hire. Like, what?
Because I've seen, like, the lack of care since the Eternals.
Yeah, and I skipped the Eternals, and I still refuse to watch it.
Yeah, that was the first time I ever felt like I wasted my money at the cinema.
I felt that. I felt that in me when I saw the trailer. I was like, nah, you ain't getting me with this
one. I was like, of all types of movies, it had to be a Marvel movie that I felt like that.
Bruh, they got me with the rest, so I can't even front. But yeah, I still haven't seen Eternals. And I feel like that carries over just... In general, when it comes to movies, even beyond Marvel, I'm more excited for the animated movies this year.
Yeah, yo, man, all these
watching them trailers, I was like, hey, yo, wait, what? Okay, but this, man, clearly Spider-Verse. Yes, I'm excited for that, but come on now.
And isn't that a self-contained story, like how the Eternals was? Wait, does Sony still have that, though?
Of course.
That makes sense.
Sony's not giving up.
Yeah, see, that's why that's all right. I don't know what they do with their live action movies, but their animated movies are fine.
I mean, yeah, they actually use their budgets well. So it's just like, oh, I'm not worried about y'all. I got this. This is cool. So yeah, that's definitely what I'm looking forward to. I feel like the live action joints, it's just, we get the same recipe every time. Mm-hmm. So it just feels exhausting to watch and partake in. You're just like, oh, okay, great.
I feel like the Patrick scene where he's like, why don't we take the animated writers and put them over here? Like, I think that would work.
Wild.
Like, just move those guys.
You know what? If they are doing that, then shame on them, because it's not working.
No, that's something I wish they would do.
What, as far as separate the animated?
No. Like, bring some of those writers over. Like, you know.
Oh, okay. You mean reverse? Yeah. I want to keep them in their box. No, I don't take these people.
I want to keep them in their box. I don't want them like to come over here and then stay over here. I want them to come do a movie or two.
Come help out, and then get up out of there.
You know? Grease the wheels or something, because some gears are grinding.
Facts. Because, like, character-wise, another thing that they're doing a lot of, why do we have such ensemble casts and roles only to waste them?
Yes, that's demeaning, I feel.
Of course. We're always going to have secondary and tertiary characters. That's a given. But I feel a lot of the characters are always big name actresses or actors, and they're always just there. They don't really add anything. They don't really get used within the story enough to make it poignant. So it's just like, hi, cameo. It's like product placement, but with the person.
Yeah, basically.
It's so weird. So weird.
Like, they did that in Love and Thunder. With Russell Crowe.
Yeah. Yes, they did. And this time with who?
Bill Murray. Yes.
And I'm just like, do you know who this person is? You're just using them to do what? Seeing Bill Murray, okay, cool. It's not adding to the comic relief necessarily. And it's kind of like you're excited when you see people on screen. So it's just like, okay, what are they about to say next? Crickets.
Right. He should have just wrote his own thing.
That's a fact. Or just improv'd it and showed up and left. Cause
that's how I felt. He just showed up and left.
he did show up and leave. Because he was like, what the hell? Am I in the quantum realm right now? Like, yeah.
Like, I feel that thing that got that character is going to be a plushie. Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
The eyes. I saw the eyes and I was like, oh, that's going to be a plushie.
Definite merch. That is, yeah. They're just like, oh, let's introduce all these elements to see what sticks and what we can make more money out of. Like, come on, stop doing this.
Beyond cash and cash grabs.
Damn Disneyfication of it all. Stop. So corny. It doesn't have to be. That's the thing. And it's just, I don't know what happened in this space and time to where superhero action movies aren't rated R. I'm not even saying, oh my God, I need the raunchy. I just need it to be rated R. Like, no,
but the source
material, a lot of them have adult themes.
Literally read my first curse word in a comic book.
That's a fact. That is such a fact. Yeah, I don't even think of it like that. Okay, ratings wise, of course, because America's so prudish when it comes to it anyway. So I feel like PG-13, it just teeters on safety.
Yeah.
They do get away with certain things, but they won't push it to where it needs to go. And not saying we need the curse laden movie, but just something that's more mature.
Yeah.
We get it, obviously, cash grab. It's easier to sell PG-13 tickets than rated R. But if you present to me,
I kind of want to argue that.
I am going to argue it. To me, if you presented an MCU movie that was rated R, everybody would go see that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell me kids wouldn't be in that theater with their parents or guardian? They would be.
Wait, was Blade rated R?
That's a fact.
Like, see?
The next one better be rated R, because if not, that's going to be a problem.
That's why the Punisher show didn't get made? No, movie. It was a movie that didn't get made.
Yeah. That is,
because even when the actor itself is like, yo, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, this is corny. Why am I doing this?
I need it to be rated R.
That's It's a fact. Come on. There's look beyond the familial dollars. Families will still go see it. Just do what you will with it. So strange.
Like, I don't need every movie to be a Ryan Reynolds written movie, but come on now.
At this point, he's our only saving grace because they didn't believe in him at first.
Word. And look what he did.
Shoot. Exactly. Flipped it on its head. That is so crazy. But to me, this Ant-Man is not anywhere near as funny as the other Ant-Man movies to me. And it just felt dry.
It felt forced.
Very much so. And I know we're not at a comedy show. Usually the writing is just for relief between tension and stuff like that to keep the movie going. But
this was not only a bridge in the for the phases. This was a villain full introduction.
Yeah.
And you kind of dropped the ball on that. And it wasn't even Jonathan's fault. It had nothing to do with him.
No.
He played the shit out of that role.
Exactly. He did what he could with it. I will say that. And I'm glad he didn't just go in there and was just like, whatever. Soft opening. Cool. I'm going to just keep like that. Nah, he did his thing.
The range. When you get to that.
Oh, for sure. Oh,
man.
For sure. It's just like, wait, what? Ooh, why are they doing this? That aspect of it, of course, I do have excitement to see future Kangs and how they interact with everything in MCU.
Yes.
That's going to be very interesting. For an opener of Phase 5, it fell short.
Yeah.
Very much so. Short.
It was oversold.
Very much. Like, and that's the thing. I don't even want to say, Ant-Man's my favorite in the series. Not really.
He was never
Doctor Strange is my favorite.
Yeah, mine's too. Ant-Man has never been
Ant-Man,
my favorite superhero.
He was there, but I still respected it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. Not that I expected greatness from this or, oh my God, that was just amazing. Or just that feel that the old MCU used to have.
Yeah.
Something.
Like,
anything.
It feels like they treated him better when he was a side character in other movies than his own movies.
That is so true. Even the writing was better for him as a side character or supporting role. Ooh. And another problem I had, reviving Yellowjacket as MODOK.
Oh, I couldn't wait till you brought that up.
That was so
senseless.
Weird to me.
They ruined
that
it.
That was so weird.
MODOK is not like the greatest, in my book, the greatest villain, but he is a good villain.
Right. And they just put him in there as a throwaway, basically. And honestly, if you pull his parts out of the movie, you're not going to be missing much.
Yeah, if you can completely remove him, in all honesty.
Yeah. Yeah, all the scenes that he was...
You didn't need him. He had corny, like, jokes, and I was like...
Oh, very corny. And I'm just like, compared to what they've done with him, I'm just, this ain't it.
Mm-mm.
This is not it.
I couldn't... The funniest thing with him was his legs. I couldn't stop laughing at his legs, though.
Well, yeah.
It was...
The legs did look kind of funny.
It was the legs.
But the CG for that looked very bad. I was just like, it looked like Zordon face.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Stretched.
Like, I felt like I was watching Spy Kids 3.
Oh, my God. It was so bad.
Which one was it with George Lopez when he was the thing?
Yes.
Was it 3?
Yo, why? Why did they do that to him?
That was... Fishbowl face.
So
it was so weird. It was weird.
Yeah. And I'm just like, why they stretch his face like that? Can they constrain the proportions and make it look like a face? What is happening?
And when I saw that, I was like, oh, you just said no. I'm not spending no money on this movie.
Bruh. Hello. They were just like, what else can we throw at
like,
it?
Like, scene wise, visually, it was good. I like that.
Yeah.
But when it got to certain important parts, you didn't care. He was like, yeah, the kids will buy it.
That's a fact. Just rushed and thrown together. So, overall, what would you rate Ant-Man, the Wasp, Quantumania?
A nice, solid 4.5.
Out of 5?
Oh, I thought this was out of 100. My bad.
Yeah, clearly. He's been in the quantum realm for 30 years, people.
I would give it a
out of 5.
A solid 2.
Okay. Yeah, overall, I rate this a 2.5, and that's just me being generous.
I was being generous.
Can I rate lower than that? You are welcome to do whatever.
Could I give it a quantum number?
Oh my god. Please don't. It just needs to disappear. Don't get stuck in that realm, please. But yeah, this overall was a decent, and when I say decent, I mean decent, but under decent. I'm just being nice. Soft open for things to come in Phase 5. Getting introduced to this Kang variant, that's definitely what held my interest throughout the movie. But all in all, it felt like Ant-Man and the Wasp DeLorean to me. Like, unless you really feel like it in the theater, just wait for it to come to Disney
Plus. Yeah, just wait. Just wait, for real. Don't even waste. Yeah. It's not worth the experience. I don't think so.
Yeah, because there really isn't an experience. Yeah, just wait. And when you do watch it on Disney Plus, just go in with low to no expectations and you may or may not be disappointed.
You're only watching this movie to get to the end.
That is a big fact that you're just like, yo, I'm still here. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, it was weird because it was the first time I kept looking at my watch when I was watching a movie.
Yep. Again, I understand the run times for some movies have to be this long, but this, it didn't have to be at all. Any last thoughts?
It was good post-credits. I like those.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about the post-credit scenes. So there are two post-credit scenes. Obviously, if you do watch the movie or decide to, definitely stick around for those. And they were good because, again, it adds to the build-up for Phase 5.
Yes. I couldn't put my finger on one of the three that they showed, but I'm excited. I could name, like, I've seen one that had me scared. Like, they didn't get a close-up. It was, like, a faraway shot. And I saw the outfit, and I was like, oh, no.
Well, you can say it. This is spoilers. You can go ahead and say
it. Oh, yeah. So when they introduced, like, Ramatut, it kind of felt like they downplayed him. Because Ramatut is more, like, he stands up tall, like how that third guy, like the futuristic king. I feel like he's a new, like, a MCU king.
That's what I was feeling too with that. I think he's when I saw the makeup and everything, I was like, oh, okay.
But when I saw his range on Immortus with the voice,
bruh,
man.
Bruh. Disney is very lucky to have a friend in Jonathan Majors.
I wasn't even expecting that type of voice from him. And I was like, yo.
Yeah, he's killing it.
And then when they showed all the Kangs and like his different emotions or mindsets for those individuals.
Yes, and like him sitting there emoting every individual character.
Every
like,
character. You what? Saw it like, I forget the one Kang variant's name where he bought the Stark Tower. He's the one that bought it.
Yes.
Like,
okay, that part is exciting. Like you so, see, yes, you will be excited for the end credits.
You'll see a lot of characters like, holy shit. Like, if you know,
and it's so much to look at too, because you're trying to like spot like you them need all. To, you're just like,
if you're not looking for stuff, you'll miss it.
Oh, for sure. And this is obviously better when you are at home to pause. Yeah. So yeah, definitely wait for Disney Plus, so you can just be like, oh my god.
Yeah, that post credit, that first post credit, you're gonna want to pause a lot. So the second one was a wild moment for it because of what it showed. Like, in its potential. Obviously, we don't know what's going on, but I would think that's the Kang. That's the one, He Who Remains.
Yeah, that's He Who Remains. To me, that's what I felt like, especially because it was like the throwback to Loki, and it seemed like they were on assignment trying to track him down. So, that, to me, that felt like a cutscene from Loki. But
that was the post-credit for Loki.
Yeah. Excited to see where that goes. But at the same time, I'm just like, yeah. Quantumania, people.
Wait for it.
Yeah.
Don't hold your breath. Just wait for it, though.
Nah, just hold your breath and just don't do that because you might be waiting a long time.
Yeah, I don't see that hitting until the late summer. Sometime in August, late July.
Let me see. What else is next for MCU? Because we have this. We have... what am I forgetting? The Marvels is November.
I want to see how that's going to play out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Duh. Guardians Volume 3 is
yeah,
next.
That's in May 10th, I believe. 5th.
Yes. Somebody's going to die.
I feel like it.
Since this is a spoiler episode. No, somebody is going to die. They've already said it.
So no, I'm like, I feel like it's going to be like either Drax.
Oh, for sure. You saw exactly Nova. With good reason because he's done. So
yeah.
Hello. But even in the trailer, very heart-wrenching-y emotional for a Guardians trailer. I'm just like, ah, all right. Okay. But yeah, for the rest of the year, what we have? Guardians Volume 3, The Marvels is in November. Is that it for this year?
I believe so.
Ooh, that is dry.
Yeah, that's it because...
Oh, yeah. No. Everything got pushed back again.
Wait, yeah, no, because next year that starts it off would be Captain America.
If Captain America drops the ball...
I think that's also going to be the one to drop. I think...
You think so? Mm-hmm.
Thunderbolt is going to be like the... I think that's not going to be good, but it's
like a supporting
movie, but it's going to be surprisingly decent. See that.
I feel that.
It's going to feel like...
Listen.
What was that?
Hey, Disney, listen up. Put your ear to the speaker. If you screw up Blade, Blade, any of that, and if it's less than an R rating for that movie...
Like the
just cancel the rest of
the movies they can't fuck up from here on out would be Blade, Deadpool, Fantastic Four.
Deadpool has to be dark. There's no
Fantastic
especially
Four.
Especially because those are the more.
You need Fantastic Four to work for Kang.
That's a fact. Because that's going to build a lot of the rest of your story.
He is a Richard, so you need that to work.
Damn, yo. That means we're not going to get Secret Wars until 2026?
Yeah, it says May 1st, 2026.
Ew. I'm so mad. This is... Wow.
And the Kang Dynasty comes out 25.
That's wild to even think about. Like, we're in 2023, people.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
And that's weird. So what's going to fill in between Fantastic Four and that?
You already know what is. All their series.
Because that's a big gap. And you got Loki. Plus series, Loki comes out when?
This year.
Right. So,
Yeah, it's going to be a very spaced out time.
Which they actually need. They need to space things out.
You think that's going to make them make a better
movie? No, but they kind of like wants to throw everything in.
Oh, the back to back. Okay, yeah. I understand that. Yo, that's wild. Man. All right. Well, definitely connect with us via Spotify using the poll and Q&A sections, leaving your thoughts about Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and MCU Phase 5 predictions, wants, needs, complaints, anything of the above. Feel free to do so on Instagram as well, Twitter, YouTube, or verbalvibemode.com. Or you can even leave us an angry voicemail using the Anchor app. All links are in the description box below. Peace.
Peace.